Hi guys, welcome to episode 5 of the Trans Talk of the Transpavians. My name is Zane Schmoll, I'm from Transpavians, and I'm joined with Harold Zamt from Polar.
Hi Zane, good to be back.
There we go. Cool guys, this week we're going to be looking at those boxes, those orange, some of them are black boxes. You get 3 of them, we're going to be chatting about that. And then Harold's received some questions about target zones with the training planner, how that is calculated and how that works. And he's going to chat to you a bit about how that all plugs into your training planner and actually is part of the system. So let's dive right into it. Harold, those target zones, the calculator, it's behind the scenes on that little spreadsheet that they download, isn't it?
Yeah, it is part of the training planner spreadsheet, so the target zone calculator is in there. We've added that for those of you that just want to get or just reconfirm what your heart rate zones are for the various sessions. And just to give you an idea of how it works, it obviously uses your maximum heart rate, which for some of us, we might just use our age to try and predict that. It is a very ballpark estimation. People are familiar with the 220 minus age formula that's been around for years. It is quite an estimation for cycling. In most cases, your maximum heart rate possibly be a little bit lower because you're recruiting different types of muscles than in running, for example. So you might find your max heart rate a little bit lower. But you can also just put in your age. We have some formulas that are specific for athletes, male and female athletes, that you can get an estimation of your max heart rate, or go out and test it on the road and see how high it can go. And then you've got that number, and the other one is the resting heart rate number. The resting heart rate is obviously one indication of recovery. That can be measured throughout the night. But those two numbers, resting and max heart rate, you plug them into the spreadsheet and then you'll get your percentage of intensity. So you'll find the planner works typically with 3 zones for this endurance type event, like the Transpavians. The first one is quite big, ranges anywhere from 50 to 70%. And that's typically the zone you would warm up in. You'd do your long, slow ride. A lot of your training, up to about 75%, believe it or not, of your training time should be spent in that zone. The next zone up from there is your 70 to 80% heart rate zone, which is typically your zone 3, which is your aerobic stamina zone. And there you'd probably do shorter interval sessions, anywhere, when I say shorter, anywhere from 5 minutes to even up to 30 minutes if you want to train in that zone. And then the last one would be sort of zone 4, your lactate tolerance zone. That's up to ranges from 80 to 90%. That's really hard work. And there you'd typically only want to spend no more than 5 minutes at one time. So 5 minutes up there, come down. Most of us would probably do, let's say, 2 or 3 minutes up there, then that's enough. We'd recover, and then we'd go back up to the zone. But the main thing to get right is obviously your max heart rate that you put in and your resting heart rate, to define those heart rate zones that are specific to you. Plug those in, and then you'll have an exact idea of the training time in each of those zones that you are aiming for.
My watch tell me after a session up the VK route just here behind you, up in George Peak. And then after the session, it actually asked me if it can update my max heart rate setting because it
went higher than it went higher said,
than,
yeah,
the,
yeah.
than the old calculation of age minus 220.
And what everyone should also remember is that max heart rate is also, there's a lot of genetics behind it. You know, it's genetically determined largely for most of us. So it's not, you can't apply one number to everybody of the same age bracket. It does vary, and it does vary from one sport to another. Like a triathlete would typically have a max or a peak heart rate for swimming, a peak heart rate for cycling, and then a max heart rate for running. So the reason for the different terms there is that max is obviously the highest you will achieve. And that's typically in a sport like running. Cycling, we find it's normally 5 to 10 beats lower than your running. But again, that varies from person to person. What makes intensity-based training so good is that it is unique to you as an individual. Mm. It's working on your parameters. It's working on your intensity zones. And then for most of us, we wouldn't want to spend too much in zone four for transbobbyance at the beginning, you know, burning those candles right at the beginning and then paying for it later on. So we'll talk about that possibly in a future episode where we look at the pacing. Don't overcook it too early, sort of things. Yeah. But in a nutshell, that's what the target zone calculator is all about. And that is part of the training planner that you can download.
And it's on a separate tab in the Excel spreadsheet. Yep. And you guys will see it. It's nice and color-coded. It's fairly easy to understand. Anybody that understands the basics of a spreadsheet will understand exactly how that works.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
Guys, and then those orange and black boxes, everybody always asks about them, and we sort of touched on them in some previous episodes about refueling specifically. So firstly, you get three boxes, and whether you're a team of two, a team of three, or a team of four, you only get one box per checkpoint. So the three boxes goes to checkpoint three, which is at about 123, first checkpoint is checkpoint two, which is at 100 Ks. And then the second checkpoint is checkpoint three, which is at 123 Ks. And then the third box goes to the infamous Bergplas, checkpoint four at 147 Ks. So those are where the three boxes are going. And like I said, if you are a two-man team, a three-man team, or a four-man team, one box, it will have the checkpoint number on it, per team goes to that point. And you have access to that box in that checkpoint only. You need to close it back up, cable tie it, and it goes back onto the track, and you'll only see it at the finish again.
Have they got any bigger?
No. No, they 22 liters in size. They're fairly big, I think, for what you need to put in there. But I think if you're a four-man team, there might be some challenges in warm clothing. But you've got the advantage of having four people that can do the pull work in the team. So it's a bit of a toss-up between space in the box and having extra teammates to help you. Harold, what do you typically put in your boxes?
I've used the boxes over the years, and the key for me is that teammates need to separate what they put in. So to pre-pack things in plastic bags is always a good idea.
Very good idea, Ziploc bags.
Pre-pack it, even label it. In years gone by, we've reached some of the checkpoints in the dark, so it's difficult to find things. But even the clothing, to an extent where you might want to pre-pack your clothing into bags so that it is separate, so it's easy to find. In those boxes. And the boxes are big enough. I've never raced in a four-man team, so I wouldn't know what that's like, but I've raced in a three-man team, and provided you pack them properly. But I can, coming to the boxes, I think, if I correct me if I'm wrong, one of them needs to check in the night before. So you want to come prepared to the event with that already packed and not sitting on the pavement.
Exactly.
Things in boxes.
Yeah, you need to, amongst your team, think about what you're going to be packing in those boxes. And also now with the rolling start at 5 a.m., there's no way we'll get any of the trucks to the checkpoints in time. So actually all three boxes need to be handed in the night before already for the race. And so bring your pre-packed packs to go into your boxes to registration and hand them straight in after registration. It's almost the best way of doing it. And I can't stress that planning of packing more, like putting clothes and whether it's food or whatever else, spares and stuff, into predefined packs, or whether you use drawstrings or Ziplocs or whatever into those boxes. It just makes it a lot easier. It sounds quite simple now, but when you're in the dark, tired, it's raining, to find your stuff and it's unpleasant, it can get quite cumbersome quickly. So I do stress that. And I think we've already said this, but the typical things that you will put into your box is warm clothing for Bergplas, going downhill, going into the night. And then also the food that we don't provide at checkpoints. If you feel like having an apple or your specific carbohydrate drink that you need to refill your bottle with. It's always a good idea to put in some spares for your bike. You know, maybe an extra tube, little things that you don't want to carry with you all the way, and that you can have access to at those boxes is always good. And it's also a good spot to, obviously, if your clothing got wet or socks or that sort of thing, to discard them into that box for you to be able to fetch it at the finish again. So that's basically what they are used for and what it comes down to on those boxes. I hope we're answering all the questions on the boxes. Harold, you want to say something?
Yeah, I think the important thing as well is that with the early start at 5 o'clock, you're possibly going to have a lot of your warm clothing on at that stage, which don't just drop in a box, especially if you need it later again. So those are the things that have changed slightly in the race dynamic.
Very
with the 5 o'clock
very
start.
True, yeah.
It's no longer a case of getting to Bergplas and it's getting dark. Now you need all your warm kit. So that's going to be a little bit tricky for some, especially if you're out there for a lot longer. You might have to consider that. Maybe you want to drop your warm kit at the first checkpoint with the box, which is checkpoint 3, and then get more warm kit once you get to the top. I don't know. That's just something to highlight
to think
that
about,
the scenario has changed slightly.
Yeah, and it's always going to be day specific as well. Mm. It depends on what the predictions are and what the weather is going to be like. But definitely think about that, because you are going to be dressed warm no matter what the conditions are going to be. You're going to be starting warm and you're going to want to take off some kit as you move through. So think about that it's the best thing is to plan those boxes before you even arrive in Willamore for the race.
For sure.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, good one.
Okay, guys, enjoy your week, and we'll sign back in next week. Cheers, eh?
Cheers. Bye.